has been paraping yapayanachasaha bhavanti kalena bhavanti hidrasa sahasvaso yatra vayam brahmama Sri Sankara Vacha Vayam Natata Prabhavaham Bhumni Yasmin Parinji Yajachiva Kosha Bhavanti Kalina Bhavanti Hidrasa Sahasra Yatra Vayam Brahmamaha Sri Sankara Vacha Vayam Natata Prabhavama Bhumni Yasmin Vanyay Prabhavama Bhavanti Kalim Bhavanti Hidrasa Sahasrasa Yatra Vayam Brahmama Matajis Sri Sankara Vacha Vayam Natatam Prabhavam Bhumni Yasmin Parivhinya Pajavachasa Bhavanti Kalina Bhavanti Hidrasa Sahasrasa Yatra Vayam Brahmama Sri Sankara Vacha Vayam Natata Prabhavaham Bhumni Yasmin Parinye Yajachiva Kosha Bhavanti Kalina Bhavanti Hidrasa Sahasrasa Yatra Vayam Brahmama Sri Sankara Vacha, Lord Shiva said, Vayam, we, na, not, tata, O my dear son, Prabhavama, sufficiently able, Bhumni, unto the great Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yasmin, in whom? Pare, in the transcendence. Anye, others. Api, even. Aja, Lord Brahma. Jiva, living entities. Kosha, the universes. Bhavanti, can become. Kale, in due course of time. Na, not. Bhavanti, can become. He, indeed. Idrusa, like this. Sahasrasaha, many thousands and millions. Yatra, wherein. Vayam, all of us. Brahmamaha are rotating. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Shiva said, My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. Purport. There are innumerable universes in the material world, and there are innumerable Lord Brahmas, Lord Shivas, and other demigods. All of them rotate within this material world under the supreme direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Durvasa, for Lord Shiva also was under the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanata Vanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurim Mulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krotu Vachalam Pangun Langhai Tegrim Yat Kripata Raham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakapa Chibhishya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we're seeing that Lord Shiva also was not able to give protection to Durvasa. What's interesting is that Durvasa, he was a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. And he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. But even in that circumstance, Lord Shiva couldn't give him protection. And he was even saying, here it's mentioned that he was also being burned by the Sudarshan Chakra. So he was kind of like, you know, I can't help you, but, you know, let that Sudarshan Chakra, it's hot, you know, can you move on to, you know, try to get help somewhere else. It's not going to work here with me. So, Durvasa, of course, he was disappointed that Lord Shiva wasn't able to help him. Another thing is that Lord Shiva, he knew that Durvasa, he had offended a great devotee. And Lord Shiva, he's also a great devotee. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, he was the greatest Vaishnava. So he knew that you've offended a great Vaishnava, so there's nothing I can do. Yeah, sorry. So what's also kind of interesting here is that the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing Durvasa Muni for a year. I mean, up to this point, I don't know how long it was, but he was moving around for quite some time. And, you know, Sudarshan Chakra, it's like, it's fast. It's like lightning. So he's just kind of like playing with Durvasa, like cat and mouse. You know, sometimes a cat will play with a mouse, you know. So he's kind of doing like this. Durvasa is having like these pit stops, you know. He's talking to Brahma, he's talking to Shiva, he's trying to get some break from this Sudarshan Chakra, but he's not getting a break. So, his last resort, we're gonna hear. In a few days, he's going to go to Narayan. So, one problem that Durvasa Muni has that he had great power and he misused it. Now, this is a very common thing in the material world. Of course, I don't want to offend Durvasa Muni. He's great personality, and he knows what people are thinking from that pastime. We just heard how he knew it, what Ambarish had taken that water. So we've got to be careful about offending great personalities. But he misused, I think he would agree to that, he misused his power by offending Ambarish Maharaj. And it's a common thing that happens. Even within our society also. I was just recently at one country and there was one sannyasi that was, he was demanding quite a lot from the temple presidents in this country. And finally they had a meeting and they decided that, you know, please, no offense, but don't come back for a while. Because he was misusing his power. And, of course, we've seen in the past in our society, gurus and sannyasis, they would, or even Sangirtan leaders, I saw that also, sometimes they would misuse their power and get heavy on people and make offenses to devotees. So we had to be very careful about how we deal with others. You know? And this is something that we could learn from this pastime with Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa. And sometimes people get on these power trips where they exhibit their power. They allow their power just to disturb others. And it's a type of sense gratification, yeah, where they try to overpower others, use their influence and control. You know? There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, Samsara Kupe Patitang Vishyera Guchatekstinam, Grastam Kala Hinamanam Konyas Tratyam Rahishra, that the intelligence of the living entity is stolen away by the activities of sense gratification. And in that condition, one falls down into the well of repeated birth and death. And within that well, one is seized by the deadly servant of time. And who can save one from such a position except for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So the intelligence is stolen away by this sense gratification. There's so many different types of sense gratification. There's gross sense gratification. There's subtle sense gratification. So we have to try to become free of all these different varieties of sense gratification and try to please Krishna. This will satisfy us, actually. Prabhupada says in one purport that just by hearing about Krishna, all our senses become completely satisfied. This is the power of hearing. So therefore, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Bandhanam Dasim, Sakyaman Marivedanam. Hearing is the most important. And sometimes one can become proud of also becoming very expert at hearing. You know, I remember I was at one temple and there was a devotee, he was chanting 64 rounds a day. And he was letting everybody know about it. So he became a little proud that he was hearing so much. So there's so many tricks of Maya. So Narada Muni says, Mahadbir Bhakti Naishtishta Svarineti Manyate. He says that a devotee of the Lord never thinks that his activities, that his service is due to his own power or his own sincerity, but it is the mercy of Krishna. It is the supreme mercy of Krishna. It is an expression of Krishna's kindness. If we have any success in anything, it's Krishna's mercy. We shouldn't think that it was due to my ability, my greatness. So this is humility. And when people get these great powers, then they can become bewildered by these powers. So Durvasa Muni, he's being harassed by the Sudarshan Chakra, you know, karma, right? He tried to harm someone else, and now he's being harmed. Yeah. So, and we're also being harassed in this material nature. We're being harassed by the modes of nature, by other living entities, Adiyamaka, Adibodhika, Adidaivaka. So we're being harassed also in so many different ways. So the best thing that we can do, and the best thing that we're going to find that Durvasa Muni did, is to take shelter of Krishna. Samasataye parapalava palam mahaparam punir somar bhavambudhir vatsa param 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 yad viparam natesham. That for one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is also the shelter of the entire cosmic creation, for such a person, this entire ocean of material existence becomes no bigger than the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. And what is their goal? Their goal is the spiritual world. where there is no anxiety, not this place where there's danger at every step. So this is the goal, to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, we're going to continue being tossed around in this material world. Prabhupada gives an example of just like on a soccer field, the players, they're kicking the soccer ball all over the field. So he said, this is like the living entities. We're being kicked around in sometimes a bird body, sometimes a dog body, sometimes an ant body. And sometimes one's a prime minister, and just like in the ocean, these waves are coming up, right? So in the material world, these waves are coming up, and they're pushing us up, and we become a prime minister, right? And then another wave comes and slaps him down, and he becomes a dog. Just like it was Nehru, I think. He was a prime minister, and then one astrologer said he became a dog in Sweden in his next life. So he became a prime minister, then become a dog. You become a bird, you get shot down by a hunter, then you become a lion, you get captured by a hunter. So this is the material world. We're being tossed around. So the goal is to get out of this being tossed around in this ocean of material existence and take shelter of Krishna. This will bring satisfaction to the soul. And this is what we're searching for. This is the desire of the living entity, is to take shelter of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking about this, and he said, what is the difficulty? So he was at, this is in France, he was speaking to some devotees, so he wanted some discussion. What is the difficulty in taking shelter of Krishna and surrendering to Krishna? And one devotee said, Bhogai Svayar Prasaktanam Tayapurichtesam. That the living entity becomes attracted to this material nature, to enjoying this material world, and the opulence and the sense gratification. But this doesn't bring satisfaction to the soul. So Prabhupada said, yes, the problem is we become diverted. We become diverted from the goal of taking shelter of Krishna. So in this material world, there's so many diversions. Maya is very expert at diverting the living entity. So therefore, we have to be very, very, very careful in this path of bhakti and not be diverted. I was just reading this book by Jamuna. This is a biography of Jamuna. Amazing book. And she was expressing how she had become so attached to Srila Prabhupada. And it was really enhancing her devotional life to become attached to Prabhupada. This isn't in the book, but I remember one devotee telling me how she was in India one time, and she was in one room, and Prabhupada was in another room, and they had balconies. They each had a balcony, and Prabhupada was on the balcony, and he was chanting japa. And she went out on the balcony also, and she heard him chanting, so she was out chanting also. And then she turned to Prabhupada, and she said, Prabhupada, I love you. And Prabhupada said, I know. And he walked back into his room. Prabhupada's so cool, yeah? So in this book also, she is amazing pastime. She was in John Lennon's estate. And they went on a japa walk. Gurudas was taking pictures. It was Jamuna and Prabhupada were walking. And there was long grass on the land there, on the property. So she thought, well, I'll follow in Prabhupada's footsteps. I'll follow right in his footsteps. Try to get this mercy. So she's walking behind Prabhupada. And she looks down, and there's no footprints. And she's like, what's going on here? So she looked behind her, And she saw, I'm leaving footprints. And then she said, Prabhupada, you're not leaving any footprints. Then Prabhupada turned around to her and said, you'll understand in the future. And that was it. Prabhupada was floating. You know, many times you'll hear of devotees, you know, Prabhupada went into the airport and devotees said, Prabhupada, he's floating. He's not walking. So this is just to give you some idea of some of the nectar in this book of Mother Jamuna. So another time she was chanting japa. Well, actually, she was chanting Gayatri, and Prabhupada asked her, so have you finished your japa yet? And she said, no, Prabhupada, I have three left. And he said, well, you should finish your japa before you chant your Gayatri mantra. Then previously she had heard that the best time to chant japa is before Mangalarti. So she started this program of chanting all her japa before Mangalarti and her Gayatri before Mangalarti. So I kind of got inspired by her, so I'm trying to follow in her footsteps. So I'm also getting up early and chanting my japa and Gayatri mantra before Mangalarti. It's actually really, really nice. Highly recommend it. It's really nice. You have your japa done, then after Mangalarti, then you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you read Bhagavad Gita, you study verses. It's like, what a way to start the day, you know? It's like, really, really nice. So, we are supposed to try to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. Of course, we have a most wonderful example of Srila Prabhupada, who was absorbed in Krishna. Just many times in his classes, he'll say, 24 hours a day, we have to be absorbed in Krishna. Of course, we have to take some rest. But if we're sincerely serving Krishna throughout the day, then sometimes you'll also dream of Krishna. I remember I was at a Sankirtan festival one time, and after the morning program, one devotee came up to me and said, Vijay, last night you were having a dream, and you, while you were sleeping, you lifted your hand up in the middle, and you said, excuse me, sir, where are you coming in from? So I was thinking, okay, that's a cool dream. I don't remember it, but you know, if we're absorbed in devotional service and thinking of Krishna, and then we'll also dream of Krishna. So somehow we have to think of Krishna. And we've got this wonderful process of thinking of Krishna. So many wonderful pastimes of Krishna. You know, just like this Ambarish Maharaj. Such an amazing devotee. So hearing the glories of the devotees, hearing the glories of Krishna, this purifies us. And this is the goal. We want to get purified. Prabhupada was speaking about this. And he said, the reason we follow these four regular principles is so that our consciousness will become clear, so that we can think of Krishna. This is why we're following these four regular principles. And we all have certain tendencies, just like Durvasa Muni. He had this tendency to get angry, right? But actually, he should have controlled that. We should always control our lower tendencies. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam urupasta vegam. These urges, this lust and anger and greed, this tendency to become controlled by these lower natures. It's not good. We have to control. We have to restrict. The more we're able to restrict these material tendencies, the more we're going to advance in our spiritual lives. So we have to control all these material tendencies. And how do we control them? We have to control them by getting the higher tastes. Visya vinivartante niraharasya. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense gratification, though the taste for these objects is still there, but experiencing a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, he's able to continue on in his service to Krishna. So we should pray to Krishna for this higher taste, so that we're not brought down to this, to these lower modes of nature. Vega means this urge. So vacho, the urge to speak. Sometimes someone may say something to you and you get upset and you want to say something to retaliate. But no, we should control. Yasmin no vegetero con Yasmin no vegetero con loka no vegetaya. Krishna says in the 12th chapter that one who is not agitated by others, nor agitates others, is very dear to me. So someone may speak in a way that's agitating to us, but we should just control it. Control our speech. You know, just be tolerant. And Krishna is pleased by that, if we're able to control this urge to speak in a way that is disturbing to others. Vacho vega manasakro, to control the mind. You know, this is very difficult to control the mind. Even Arjuna said, chanchalam hi mana Krishna, so difficult. It's like controlling the wind. So difficult to control the mind. And Krishna says, durjyanam maham mana, of difficult things to conquer, I'm the mind. So, this is why we're having such difficulty to control the mind. It's Krishna's statement. Of difficult things to conquer, I am the mind. So, we know it's going to be difficult. But, Krishna says, by constant practice and by detachment. Now, I could understand by constant practice. But why by detachment? Anybody say? Can anybody say? Because we get disturbed if we're attached. Yeah, good point. If we're attached to things, then we get disturbed. Yeah, but if we're detached, then we can carry on in our Krishna consciousness. If we get disturbed too easily, then it disturbs our Krishna consciousness. So, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, anger. Yeah. Anger is a big one. Yeah. We can become angry so easily because this is Kali Yuga. Yeah. People are disturbed by so many things. Yeah. So, and if one is able to control these things, then one is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So it's so important that we control our lower nature and try to engage in this service to Krishna. Beg Krishna for this devotional service, for this desire to just please Krishna. So, maybe I'll stop there. Any question or comment?
I had a question. I was wondering, Devasa Muni, where does it start talking about him, like from the beginning in the readings?
You're going to have to speak louder in the microphone. I didn't understand.
Where does Devasa Muni, where does his like story begin? I guess it's just kind of.
Where does the story of Devasa Muni begin?
Yeah.
Could be in other chapters, but I think it's right here in this chapter. Amala Bhakta Prabhu.
Just to tag on to the question that was just asked, as far as Devasa Muni come, he just happens to wander into the kingdom. This is not his story. He wanders into the kingdom at the time that the king is just about to break his fast. And that's when the difficulties begin, because the king is in a dilemma. If he doesn't break the fast, he will not get the full benefit of the Ekadasi that he'd done for a whole year. And if he does break the fast, then he violates the etiquette of eating before a very advanced holy man. So Devasa says this is not his story. He enters into many different stories. And we get to see, as you very nicely pointed out, Vijay Prabhu, that even though a person may have many mystical powers, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have controlled the various lower emotions, such as you mentioned, anger. Now, the interesting thing about this is that had he not exploded due to the fact that he felt that he was being insulted, had he not exploded, had he been peaceful, had he been calm, the normal thing for him to have done is to ask, why have you eaten before me? That is not the etiquette. Instead of actually getting so upset, so disturbed, as if he was automatically accusing the king without asking the question as to why it was done. And therefore he tried to kill him to set an example for the people in the kingdom. In other words, he accused the king of being a fraud. You have no right to be a king because you're setting such a bad example, when actually he wasn't doing that. The point is that when we feel anger coming in, as you mentioned, best thing is to keep it down, keep it quelled, and ask questions. Because you may find an answer that is conducive to helping us understand that we have no reason to be angry, and that there's really a good reason for what is happening, and therefore the situation is a very positive one. But he never did that. So that's why it's good advice for us to learn to control anger. And one of the means, of course, is through this austerity. Austerity causes us to be in situations where we have discomfort, inconvenience, a displeasure. When you actually get used to this, when those displeasures and discomforts and difficulties come, you're in a mood of peacefulness because you're used to difficulties. It's not something foreign or something disturbing. You're used to disturbance because that's what you deal in. And that's why the holy men from time immemorial have been observing austerities so that they can help overcome their lower emotions. Because once you overcome the lower emotions, then you don't get into that situation that you mentioned where Nirvasa Muni exploded and actually attempted to kill the king.
I remember Devamrita Swami saying that we should have emotional stops. You know, sometimes you get emotional, you want to say something, you know, you're angry, you want to say something, or different emotions come up. So we should have emotional stops. You know, wait, don't jump. You know, so think about this. So, yeah, thank you very much, Amala Bhakta Prabhu. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.